It's Friday, and you know what that means. It means it is our Ask a Life Coach segment. I'm excited to talk to you about this topic today. Every time I post about this on Instagram, it creates quite a buzz. And so I thought it was time we talk about this here on the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about how to save money on groceries. We're going to be talking a little bit about kind of the theory on it, a little bit about the mindset you need to have, and some practical skills as well. These are things that my husband and I learned while we were on our journey to becoming debt-free when we were 41. It was quite an accomplishment considering we have also raised a huge family, but we learned a lot. And groceries has always been an area where I have challenged myself to be super smart, super strategic. And that's good news for you because I have a lot to share on this topic. So without any further wait, let's jump in. Well, hey there, I am Jennifer Roskamp, a certified life coach and homeschool mom of nine who is passionate about helping women just like you embrace the here and now while also being focused on creating the life you actually want. In reality, it's not about thinking life will get so much better or so much easier when you fill in the blank. Let's work on creating a life you love now. So let's dive in and get started on redefining Supermom to be someone who is present, intentional, and content rather than perfect in our homes, in our lives, and in our own skin. Let's get started. This is the Intentional Mom Podcast. Okay, so this is such a popular topic. Every time I post about it on Instagram, I get a ton of questions, a ton of people who are reaching out saying, tell me more. And so I thought, what better thing than to tell you more here on the Intentional Mom Podcast? So saving money on groceries is a skill, and there is a lot that goes into it. There is a lot that goes into kind of the thought process and kind of how to get your mind right so that you can save money on groceries. But there is also so many practical ways that you can spend less on groceries, which I think in today's world is more needed than ever with the rising costs of everything. So we are going to unpack it a little bit here on the podcast. Now, let me say this. I could talk about this topic for hours and hours and hours, and I actually do. I have a money coaching program called Thriving on a Dime. You can actually find out about it at thrivingonadime.com. And it has been actually retired, my program, for years as I have turned my attention elsewhere. But there has been such a high demand for people who really feel like in today's world, I need to know how to manage my money better. Maybe you're someone who never really had to worry about it a whole lot. There was always just kind of enough to go around. But with the rising cost of everything, you might find yourself in a situation where you now are realizing, I've got to pay more attention. And the cool thing about groceries is that, and the money that you spend on food is that there, like I said, there is so many different options, so many different ways that you can save money that it really doesn't take much effort or much time for you to be able to get on a different path to how you manage food and groceries and all of that coming into your home. So let me first talk about a couple of things relating to mindset, because as a life coach, I can't not talk about these things. So when it comes to managing your money better, you have to understand that it is going to cost you something. If you are raising your hand in the air and saying, I want to manage my money better, know that that means you're going to have to manage your money better. And that is an active thing. It is not a passive thing. And so the important thing to realize and really just kind of allow it to just kind of resonate for a minute is that if you are not actively doing something different with how you spend money, whether it's groceries or something else, if you are not actively doing something different, the results are not going to be any different. It's one thing to know that you need to do something different with your money. It's another thing to want to manage your money better or differently. But it is entirely a different thing to actually do that. So just know that going into it. It is an active thing that you have to do. You have to make some changes. You have to do some things differently if you want different results. And I think sometimes people just jump into some money-saving tips without really wrapping their brain around the fact that this means I'm going to have to shop differently. It might mean that you have to buy groceries differently. You have to buy different things. You have to plan meals different ways. Maybe you have to plan meals and you've never done that before. Maybe you need to shop sales and not just buy what sounds good. Maybe you need to be more proactive in choosing to make meals that are more cost effective. There are so many different ways to pursue this. So much so that in my money coaching program, Thriving on a Dime, I have four entire modules with at least four lessons each inside those modules that speak directly to saving money on groceries, skills that will help you do that. So that is how wide this topic is and really how much there is to say about that. And that really isn't even everything that I could possibly say about it. So that is how wide this topic is, but we're going to dive in a little bit and talk about this. So here are three ways to save money on groceries. Now that we've kind of started with our mindset, if you are raising your hand and saying, yes, I understand what you are saying, I want different results, and I am willing to be an active participant in doing something different, these are the three things. And that, again, there are many, many more. But these are just three really powerful things to start with. Number one, commit to throwing no food away. Did you know that the 2024 statistic says that 40% of the food that is bought in the United States is thrown away? Now, just let that sink in for a minute. If 40% of the food, imagine if you actually opened up your trash can and you threw away the actual cash, 40% of the cash that you earned or that you took into your household, if you just threw it into the trash can, would you do that? No, you wouldn't. But for some reason, when that money is in the form of food, rather than dollar bills, somehow it just doesn't resonate with us the same way. We just don't realize it. 40%. And while that might feel alarming, I hope that that also feels encouraging to you, because there's a whole lot of opportunity there for you to save money. 40%. Wow, that means that if you got super strategic in how you bought groceries, you could almost double your income, essentially. Amazing, amazing. That's where I say this is a very wide topic, but committing to throwing no food away. And it is a big commitment, though. This commitment is huge, but again, it's part of how I spend just $650 a month in today's food prices for my family of 10. Committing to throw no food away is a huge piece of that. And I do have four adults, two teens, and three growing boys who eat literally every hour on the hour. So again, if you make the commitment to throwing no food away, that is going to make a huge difference in your food budget. So that's the first thing you can do. The second thing you can do, and it really kind of builds off of that concept. Actually, it makes the commitment to throwing no food away a little bit easier. So the second thing you can do is to keep an organized refrigerator and probably pantry as well. How else are you going to be able to find the leftovers so that they get used? Because if you think about throwing 40% of the food away, that is the fact that food goes bad, or we forget we have it and then it goes bad, or it just in some way it becomes non-usable, that's probably going to be a big portion of that 40%. It's food that just was no longer, it was past the ability to eat it anymore. And so leftovers is really kind of the answer, right? It's making sure that you eat the food that is left over rather than letting that food just get thrown away, rather than buying things that you don't ever actually use or that you don't actually use up. And it's really hard. Let me say this. It's really easy to lose track of what you have in your refrigerator, in what you have in your freezer. It's really easy to lose track of what you have in your pantry if it's not organized. When you're trying to put together some sort of grocery list, how are you going to know if you actually need to buy more spaghetti sauce if you don't have a consistent place, at least a consistent shelf or region where you put that spaghetti sauce? So you do your best to look around and you say, yeah, I don't really see any spaghetti sauce. And so then you buy more, but you already had a whole lot of that. Now, spaghetti sauce isn't necessarily the best example because I think that's one of those things that has quite a long shelf life, but you get the idea. When these are things that don't have a long shelf life, think of fresh produce. Think of fresh meat. Think of anything fresh like that. There's not a long shelf life. Think about dairy, right? These are all things that cost a decent amount of money. They probably put a decent dent in your grocery budget for the month, these types of things, but it's real easy to end up missing the boat on being able to use these things because you simply didn't know they were there or you couldn't find them. And so it was just easier to buy more. So keeping an organized fridge and freezer and pantry is going to help you keep your commitment to throwing no food away, because losing food is one of the ways that we end up throwing food away unintentionally. And good grief, we do it intentionally enough, right? Think about those times that your food is in your refrigerator, leftovers. I know that this is what happens in my house. If I have leftovers in my refrigerator and I say to multiple kids, I might say to a couple of my kids, hey, there's some leftover whatever in the refrigerator. Can you make sure that you eat that for lunch today? Oh yeah, sure. That's often the response that I get. But nobody in my house really loves leftovers. And so they might say, oh, yeah, sure. Or maybe they don't even respond at all. But they don't want to eat the leftovers. And so they don't. And in the case of where they say, oh, yeah, sure, but then they don't end up eating them, again, I've kind of crossed it off my mind. I've kind of assumed that they've gone ahead and eaten those leftovers. If they've said, oh, yeah, sure, I assume they've been eaten. And so if I don't have a well-organized refrigerator, I likely will not notice that the kids who told me they would eat those particular leftovers, in fact, did not. But that organized fridge is going to help me there. So that really is the second thing that you can do. The third thing that you can do is also really tied into this concept. And that's why I chose these three strategies that you can do, because they were so closely related to each other and they kind of build on one another. So the third thing is to commit to going through your refrigerator every 2 days or so. And if there's as many people coming and going from your refrigerator as I have in mine, it might even need to be necessary to go through it more than every 2 days. Because the more people you have who are kind of independently eating, kind of making their own meals, eating at their own times. I mean, we have this in our house because we have so many kids coming and going from various practices. They work, you know, they're not eating the family meals. The family meals, you know, it's pretty easy to control what's being eaten when you eat as a family. But when you have additional people in your home who are not able to eat with you at mealtime, and so they're eating independently, it is really hard to have any kind of idea of what these people are eating. So this is where going through your refrigerator, especially, that's usually where we have the most perishable food. But you should also regularly go through your freezer, regularly go through your pantry. But regularly go through your fridge, I suggest once every 2 days, so that you can stay up on what is in there. You really, if you're going to keep that commitment to throw no food away, you've got to stay on top of the food you have. You have to be in the know. And so you've got to know, what is it that needs to be eaten? Kind of have an idea. The foods that are in my refrigerator right now, this is kind of the order that we have to move through them in order to be able to not throw any food away. So when you're taking that inventory of what's in your fridge, you're really keeping a running diagnosis of when you have to use something. There have been times where I create my meal plan on the weekend, and I usually even meal prep on the weekend too. And there are times where, you know, food just doesn't get eaten the way that I thought it would. Maybe I made a big enough meal thinking that the majority of my family would be home, and maybe I ended up with three of those kids not being there. Well, now we have more leftovers than I had kind of assumed we would. And so there are times where I have meal planned and meal prepped for a particular meal on a Wednesday, let's just say. But because I keep a keen eye and kind of this ongoing awareness of what's in my refrigerator, it might be Wednesday morning and I'm realizing, oh, you know what? We have all of this chicken left from Sunday night. It didn't get eaten because I had three kids who weren't here. Instead of this meal that I had planned for Wednesday and maybe even prepped on Wednesday, well, we need to have this chicken on Wednesday, because if we don't have it on Wednesday, we can't have it on Thursday because we're going to be at a baseball game or whatever it might be. And so it's not going to keep till Friday. So having this constant awareness of what's in your refrigerator allows you to kind of call an audible where you thought this was what was going to be for dinner. But in the name of that commitment, throwing no food away, now I've got to figure out how to use up this chicken, or I've got to figure out how to use up these baked potatoes. And when it comes to leftovers, I have learned in almost all the cases, you can pretty much assume that those leftovers are going to be quite a hard sell if you are asking people to eat them in exactly the same form that they did before. The best way to get leftovers eaten is to kind of transform them a little bit. It's to kind of zhuzh them up a little bit. Just dress them up. Give them some flavor. Give them some new flavor. Maybe add them into a different dish. Transform them in such a way so that it's not so obvious that they're being eaten as leftovers. And there are plenty of things that are better leftover, I think. Now, my family doesn't necessarily agree. They kind of, if they know it's a leftover, they're like, nope, no thank you. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if you would just try it. Right? But where I find the most success, though, is if I do something to transform those leftovers into something that's different. And let's face it, there are plenty of things that just don't necessarily keep well. They keep good enough where they can be eaten, but maybe they get dried out. Maybe they lose a little bit of their flavor. Maybe the consistency changes a little bit. I mean, my family's not totally off base when they say, yeah, I don't want to eat those leftovers because sometimes they just aren't as good. So my job then, and your job, if you're committed to not throwing any food away, your job then is to make those leftovers something that is for sure edible, but something that people are willing to eat and want to eat. If you want them to eat those leftovers, even yourself sometimes, if you want to be able to have those leftovers eaten, you're going to need to make them good enough to be eaten again. And that might sound kind of hard, but really it's not. And the more you work with leftovers and learn how to kind of, again, breathe new life into them, maybe just transform them, like I said, the more you do that, the easier it becomes. The more you just kind of have kind of a running list of recipes or types of dishes that you can make that incorporate certain amounts of leftovers, certain types of leftovers. For instance, I know that if I have bread that has gotten hard, this happens in our life quite a bit. Someone will get out the bread to make a sandwich or whatever, and they will leave the bread bag sitting right there, wide open, sometimes for hours. And so then you have a loaf of bread with the bag that's been open. And so the first couple of pieces of bread that are right next to the open air are now hard and stale. Well, then that was done by person A. So then person B, I might find the loaf of bread and I just, you know, kind of close it back up, put it in the refrigerator. So then person B comes into the kitchen, into the refrigerator. They grab that loaf of bread. They put their hand in there and they feel that, oh, that bread is hard and gross. Well, I don't want that. I'm going to get a new loaf. So they open up a fresh loaf of bread. And so they take their pieces of bread for their sandwich and it's the nice fresh bread. It's a brand new opened It's a freshly opened loaf of bread, and they make their sandwich and they leave the bag sitting right there on the counter open. So now we have our second loaf with the first one or two slices of bread that are all dried out. So I put that bag away too. And so then you can see where this is going, right? With 10 people, the third person comes, grabs one of those loaves of bread and says, "Oh, this is gross. I'm not eating this. This bread is stale." So they get a new loaf. They leave it there. And now we have our third loaf, right? So all that to say, I know that when I have bread that is 100% fine, but it is somewhat stale. And by the way, I also have this in my house where I will have people use the toaster. And we have a toaster oven that fits quite a few pieces of bread or something at one time. It will actually fit 9 pieces of bread, and it will toast 9 pieces of bread at a time, which is a huge time saver for my family, obviously, because there are times where we're needing our toaster to feed our whole family. So, you know, if we only have to run it 2 or 3 times to get what we need for everybody, because it fits 9 pieces of bread, could you imagine if we had one that only fits, say, 3? Like, that would be forever. But so sometimes what happens, though, is people will make 3 pieces of toast or they'll put 3 pieces of bread in the toaster and toast them for toast, but they'll realize they only really want to eat 2. So there'll be this random piece of bread sitting in the toaster that's toasted, or a bagel or an English muffin, just a piece or two. And so I actually collect all of those. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just been sitting there, and the person who made it decided, yeah, I'm not going to eat that. I'm full. And so I collect those too. And so where I was going with all this is your brain kind of, you start to build kind of an arsenal or a recipe bank of different things that you can make when you have certain types of leftovers. And when I have hard bread or stale bread or bread that's partially toasted, I know that I've got some go-tos for that. I can make croutons out of that. Homemade croutons, man, are they good? I can make a breakfast egg dish with that. I can make a breakfast French toast casserole with that. We can have French toast. There are so many different options. You start to build kind of this recipe bank so that when you discover that, oh, I've got 8 pieces of stale, dried out bread, nobody's going to eat that. But really, the dried, stale bread is perfect for those things that I mentioned. We're actually cooking them and trying to get them to be hard and crusty and stale. Same thing with potatoes, leftover potatoes, whether it's baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, whatever it is. I can't usually get people to eat the leftovers just as is sometimes, but I find it's much better to make potato soup out of it. People love that. So that's where I'm getting to with the idea that once you get in there and make this commitment, and you commit, part of that commitment then means leftovers must be eaten, not thrown away. You start building this recipe bank, and you get good at coming up with ideas of what you could do with different types of leftovers. Because the option is, I got to figure out some way to make this edible for somebody in my family since I'm not throwing it away. So again, there is so much more to say on this topic. I actually have a video available that gives some more tips on saving money on groceries. I have information on that in the show notes where you can get that for free. It was something that everybody was asking me for on Instagram so much. Like, hey, give me some help with this. I actually created a video. You can also join my coaching program for free for 1 month by going to thrivingonadime.com, and you can learn all kinds of money saving tips, strategies, grocery saving tips, how to save on electricity, how to save money, how to build an emergency fund, so many things that my husband and I learned on our debt-free journey. And this content in this program is dripped out over 2 years. That's how much content there is. You can go to thrivingonadime.com and find out about that. But what we talked about here today are just some really good places to start when it comes to saving money on groceries. If you are throwing even close to that 40% of the food you buy away, just this commitment alone can make a huge difference in your bottom line. So that's what I had for you today. You guys, groceries is a huge, wide open opportunity to start to pinch pennies a little bit more than maybe you are. And it doesn't take long to see the difference that you can make. And that's where it gets really exciting. So thanks for joining me today. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye. Holy cow, so much information was packed into that one episode of the Intentional Mom Podcast. I hope you took notes, and I hope that you check out the show notes for that free video. And I truly hope that you check out thrivingonadime.com registration. I took that coaching program out of retirement for just a short time. Hopefully when you are listening to this, it is still open and available. If not, you'll be prompted to sign up for a wait list. So next time we might pull that out of retirement, you'll get some information there. Make sure you at least do that. But if you are recognizing that, you know what, I need to get a better handle on my money, that is going to be the program for you. So in the next episode of the Intentional Mom Podcast, I'm going to be sharing with you an opportunity to learn from my mistake. Learn from this mistake that I made, man, for way too long. And I feel like this might be a mistake you're making as well. So you are going to want to make sure that you check out the next episode of the Intentional Mom Podcast. We will talk then.